Today I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Over in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, at verse 26. Let's read these verses together. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, and that's another word for the God of Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now we see in this scripture that Israel, the nation Israel, is about to pass into the promised land. And Moses was not allowed to lead Israel into the promised land. Moses being typical of the law, and the law can inherit the promise, God raised up Joshua, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead Israel into Canaan land. But here we have the last words of Moses, the last recorded words of Moses. It's often said that the last words of a man are always very important, and we should pay attention to them. God here gives Moses this doxology of praise before God takes him to glory. And we find some very, very interesting things. The first thing we see here, Moses declares in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33. Now, I would encourage you to get your Bible and read these scriptures together. Look what he says, the first thing, his doxology, his closing words. There is none like the God of Israel. Here we see a description of the believer's God. There is none like the God of Israel. Now, all other nations had gods. The Philistines, the Hittites, the Egyptians, they had Dagon, Diana, Baal, and Moloch. And Egypt, we know, was full of gods. But they were all dead, useless, vain, and powerless to help. David said in Psalm 115, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hands, but they can't handle. Feet, but they can't walk. They're dead and useless. Israel's God is the living God. And that's why Moses says that there's none like the God of Israel. He's a living God, the eternal God, the almighty God. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses says this, I will publish the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is he, the believer's God. There's none like the God of Israel. There's none like our God. What's he like? What's he like? What's the God of Israel like, the living, the true God? We're not left to guess about what he is like. The scriptures and the word of God clearly declares his character. You listen to these scriptures. What's our God like? In Exodus 15, verse 11, we read this. He's glorious in holiness. You listen to this scripture. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? There is none like our God for the beauty of his holiness. That's one word that describes the character of God, and it is holiness. In Psalm 71, we read, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? There's none like the God of Israel. He's glorious in holiness. Secondly, we read this. What's he like? He's glorious in power. Glorious in power. Psalm 89, listen to this scripture. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of a sea when the waves thereof arise, and thou stillest them. There is none like God. He's glorious in holiness, glorious in power. God has no rival, no competitor, no one stands in opposition to his will, his purpose, or his power. He does all things after his will and counsel. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. No one stands in opposition to the will and the purpose of God. He's the absolute sovereign in all things. So what's our God like? He's glorious in holiness. He's glorious in power. There's none like our God. Thirdly, we read this in Scripture. He's glorious in mercy. God delights to show mercy to the ungodly. We read this in Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He restraineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He is quick to arrive on the scene to show and to reveal mercy unto his people. We read in this text, he rideth upon the heavens. God delights to show mercy to whom he will. And this mercy we read in Scripture is sovereign mercy. God said, I'll have mercy on whom I will, and whom I will, I'll pass by. I'll harden whom I will. He's glorious in holiness, glorious in power, glorious in mercy. Fourthly, we read this, he's glorious in his saving work. Listen to this Scripture in Psalm 86. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works? All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art God and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He's glorious in his saving, redeeming work. My friend, the Lord has never tried to do anything. He always accomplishes his purpose. And that which he purposed in Christ to redeem and save his people, he shall not fail. He's glorious in his saving work. Fifthly, we read this in Scripture. He's glorious in his eternality. It says in verse 27 of our text, the eternal God is thy refuge. In Psalm 90, we read, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Malachi 3:6, we read the Lord. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. You see, there's none like the God of Israel. What's he like? Glorious in holiness, glorious in power, glorious in his saving sovereign mercy, glorious in his redeeming effectual work through Christ, and he's glorious in his eternality. He's the eternal God. That's what Moses is saying here, and that's why he's praising God. There is none like the God of Israel. And then the second thing we see in verse 27 is the believer's hope. The believer's hope. It says in verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. This God that we have described is our only and all of our hope. He's the eternal God. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Here's the believer's hope. God is our refuge. David said this in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. We have an everlasting consolation and a good hope through the grace of God. The eternal God is our hope. The eternal God is our refuge. And the eternal God is our support. Underneath us, he undergirds us with his everlasting arm. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence and his glory. He holds us up with his everlasting arms. We read this in a Scripture. He loved his people with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. He saved his people with an everlasting salvation, Isaiah 45:17. He redeemed his people with everlasting redemption. He obtained eternal redemption for us. And he justifies his people through an everlasting covenant of grace that's ratified and made sure by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the believer's hope. And that was the hope of Moses. Our Lord said Moses wrote of him, the eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms that wrap us and secure us in Christ. And that's the third thing that Moses declares here in verse 28. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. Israel, the elect of God. And Israel here, national Israel, is just typical in type and picture of the spiritual Israel, God's elect. And here we see the believer's God, the believer's hope. Now, thirdly, we see the believer's security. We shall dwell in safety alone. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does not promise that we'll dwell with earthly wealth, with physical health, or with creature comforts, but it does promise us all spiritual and eternal blessings in Christ. You listen to this glorious promise in Romans 8:32 and following. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, God has blessed us with eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. More happy, but not more secure, the songwriter wrote. More happy, but not more secure, are the glorified saints in heaven. We're secure in Christ because it says there that he has destroyed all our enemies. The sheep are safe in the hands of the shepherd. We dwell, the believers dwell with safety and eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't save a man and then leave him to his own self to secure his salvation. We're secure in Christ. And lastly, here's the believer's blessedness in verse 29. Notice this. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now here's the believer's blessedness. There is none like the God of Israel, right? We've been over that. There's none like him. Nor is there any like the Israel of God. National Israel entered into the land completely furnished. God provided everything for them. Even more so, God has provided everything for his spiritual people in Christ. He has blessed us, his elect, believers. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, in the remaining time, let me see if I can go over these nine things that he mentions here in this text that he has given us. The first thing he mentions, he talks about the fountain of Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountainhead and wellspring of all spiritual blessings. He's blessed us in Christ, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is the fountain of Jacob. He is the well of water springing up into everlasting life. The second blessing he mentions is this, the land of corn. Do you see that in the text? We'd have a fountain of Jacob, and we shall dwell in the land of corn and wine. Now, this land of corn speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, and we feed upon him as the bread of life. He sustains us here and hereafter. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. These are the blessings we enjoy in Christ. The third thing we see is this. We dwell in the land of wine, and that speaks of the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're totally and only redeemed by his precious blood. Peter put it this way, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, we dwell in the land of the fountain of Jacob, speaks of Christ, the land of corn, the bread of life, the land of wine. That's redemption through the blood of Christ. And fourthly, we see this in the text. He shall drop down dew. The heavens shall drop down dew. The Lord drops down the dew of grace upon his people through the preaching of the gospel. That's how he blesses us and sustains us, which causes us to rejoice in him and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fifthly, he mentions this. Happy art thou. In verse 29, Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is saved, Who is like unto thee, saved by the Lord? Believers are a happy people. And that word happy means blessed. Blessed. The psalmist put it this way, blessed and happy is a man whom thou choosest, whom God has chosen, who causes that man by his grace and love to approach unto God. Psalm 32, we read, blessed and happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God's people are a blessed people. They're a happy people. The sixth blessing he mentions here, O people saved by the Lord. You see that in verse 29, saved by the Lord. Salvation is his doing from first to last. God has called us and saved us with an everlasting salvation. All of his grace from first to last, salvation is of the Lord. And then the seventh thing he mentions here, he is the shield of thy help. He has given us the shield of faith to sustain us and to help us in our pilgrim journey. His truth, we read in Psalm 91, his truth shall be shield unto us. In Psalm 3:3, we read, God himself shall be our shield. We're saved by the Lord. We dwell in the fountain, the land of the fountain of Jacob, and the corn, the land of the corn. Speaks of his bread and the land of wine, speaks of the redemption we have in Christ. The heavens shall drop down dew, speaking of the preaching of the gospel. We're a people saved by the Lord, and his shield is our help. Who is the sword of thy excellency? Now this sword speaks of the power, the excellency, the beauty. Israel could not and did not enter into the land of Canaan and defeat their enemies by their own strength. God did. Moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ is a living, powerful sword able to conquer all our spiritual enemies. He is the sword, the power of our excellency. And lastly, it says, all our enemies shall be found unto thee as liars. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered all our enemies, and he shall thrust out our enemy from before us, and shall say unto them, destroy them. Destroy, he has destroyed everything that was against us. Our sin that was against us, he put it away. The law that was against us, he satisfied. And death, he has the keys of hell and death. He conquered death.